Hey everybody, it's me, Hyrulean. Welcome back to Hyrulean Reviews Adventure Time. I know it's been a little while, I know I say that at the beginning of every single episode. Here's where we're at, folks. I got absolutely engulfed by God of War Ragnarok, and basically for the entirety of November, I did nothing else but play God of War Ragnarok. And I have to admit, I was a little bit distracted, I was a little bit hyper-fixated, but if anything, it was a bit of a peek into what the future is going to hold, because, you know, 2023 is right around the corner, and it's going to be a big year for gaming. So, I wanted to reassure everybody, we are going to continue working on Hyrulean Reviews Adventure Time. Episodes will come out as I feel the desire to release them. I don't want to overwork myself because I'd rather finish this series and it take longer than I originally anticipated versus just canceling it outright, because I genuinely want to finish the show. I genuinely want to review every single episode. But I know if I force myself to make episodes when my heart's not in it, I will cave and just cancel the entire series. So I hope you folks understand, and I hope you folks will stay with me as we continue on with Hyrulean Reviews Adventure Time in 2023. We are going to, today, finish up to the mid-season finale of Season 5 of Adventure Time. Basically, we're going to finish the first half of the season right now, and the second half of this season will be our first coverage of 2023. So yes, this is the final episode of Hyrulean Reviews Adventure Time for 2022. I know it's kind of sad to see it sent off in this kind of pitiful state, but I feel like, you know, I do this last episode, I reached the middle of season 5, and I kind of get rejuvenated over the holidays, and I come back and maybe I mix up the format a little bit, and we just jump into the rest of season 5 and the rest of the series, because we're actually very close to the middle episode of the entire show. I did the calculations, and it's somewhere in the second half of season 5 when we'll hit the middle episode, and that's not even really the middle point of the whole series, because after I finish this, then I have to watch Adventure Time Distant Lands, and there's also a couple different specials that were produced outside of the series run that I'm going to review as well. But we will be starting off 2023 with essentially the midpoint of this series. I really want to thank everybody who's stuck with me on this series so far. It's been quite the journey, and it's been the single largest undertaking of my entire content creation hobby career, but I've seriously been having so much fun with it. I really have no guarantees for how this series continues after this. I can only guarantee that it will. 2023 is going to be a very chaotic year for gaming, and this has always been a side project, and the main project is still my actual podcast, the Switched Podcast. So I will treat this like a side project. I will be putting a correct amount of effort into it that I would like to put into it. Again, I do this for fun, I do this for enjoyment, and I'm not gonna, like, you know, burn myself out making tons and tons of content, because I know it's not really going to go anywhere anyway, and this is 100% for me, just for fun, and I enjoy making it, so I'm going to do it at my own pace. But that being said, 2023 will hopefully be a great year for this show continuing, and ideally, in a perfect world, and I'm not going to guarantee it because of the fact that there are so many game releases next year, but it could happen where we finish this series. There's a good chance it bleeds into 2024, though, based on my current pace, because next year is apparently going to have even more games clawing for my attention, so it's going to become even harder in the future for me to keep track of this series, keep going steady on this series, so we really will have to see how things go. Either way, folks, I think it's high time we start talking about Adventure Time. I think we've rambled on long enough. And to the three folks that listen to this consistently, I hope you'll stick with me, and I'll talk to you again here after I'm done reviewing the next 6 episodes of Adventure Time. So let's jump into it, folks. Season 5, Episode 21, The Suitor, is an episode mostly focused on the trials and tribulations of one Princess Bubblegum. Essentially, the episode opens with Peppermint Butler doing some really shady shit inside of the tree at the top of the Candy Kingdom. He's casting some dark magic spells, and he has Cinnamon Bun as an assistant, and Cinnamon Bun is possessed by some sort of dark creature. And essentially, just as he's starting to interrogate this dark creature that he's made possess Cinnamon Bun, the Gumball Guardian busts through the tree's side and pulls Peppermint Butler out and chastises him for basically shirking off his duties as the butler of Princess Bubblegum, and explains that things are seriously getting out of hand. And so Peppermint Butler is dropped on the balcony and sent back into the castle to continue doing his normal job. And inside the castle, we see a long line of various colorful characters that we are explained are essentially Princess Bubblegum's suitors. There are a bunch of folks, all of various different sort of races and ages, and they're all fairly old, except for one right at the beginning of the line, and that one is none other than Brocco. And Brocco is essentially the main character of this episode. Brocco is more or less a young man of about 22 years old, and his father was one of the previous suitors of Princess Bubblegum, along with his father's father, also known as his grandpa. And essentially, the grandpa had been waiting there for years and years and years, and then when he passed away, waiting in line, his spot went to his son, which is Brocco's dad. And Brocco's dad recently passed away as well, leaving this first spot in line to Brocco himself. And Brocco is interviewed by Peppermint Butler and allowed to be seen by Princess Bubblegum. And when Brocco is led to meet Princess Bubblegum, we're introduced to this sort of different version of Princess Bubblegum. Essentially, she is acting less like a leader like we usually see, and more like a scientific recluse, obviously working on some sort of different science experiments and doing research and that kind of thing. And immediately, she kind of decides that Brocco is going to be her research test subject, basically. More or less, she immediately decides to start researching and investigating why Brocco feels the way that he does. And she starts attaching machines to him and that kind of thing. And he continues to make advances, which Princess Bubblegum, of course, shoots down. And Brocco declares that he will win her over, and he jumps out the window. And he manages to convince Princess Bubblegum to meet him for a date later that day. And she arrives, still in her lab coat, and basically she continues to do research on Brocco, which is really not what he wants. He wants her to get with him, but she will not, no matter what. And she continues focusing on her research, and we cut to Princess Bubblegum's lab the next day. And basically, she realizes that she needs this item called the Soul Stone. And so, Finn and Jake are called to her lab in order to be given the mission to go track down the Soul Stone. And when they arrive, they're talking to her about it, and it turns out Brocco was in the lab eavesdropping on them the entire time. And essentially, Brocco follows Finn and Jake out and beckons them to hand over the quest to him instead, so he can go retrieve the Soul Stone for Princess Bubblegum in order to win her favor. And Finn and Jake really can't be bothered. Finn, as a matter of fact, seems like he knows Brocco's going to get hurt, but he just doesn't really care because he's still kind of jealous that Brocco's trying to date Princess Bubblegum. So he's like, yeah, just take it. I don't give a shit. And he knows Brocco's going to be hurt. And it's strange because our heroes let Brocco go. And Brocco then proceeds to go and complete this quest, but not before getting severely hurt. He literally jumps into, like, a pool of fire to get a key to unlock this thing, and then monsters attack him. And it's only when he admits to the monsters that he is trying to retrieve the Soul Stone for love that they let him go on his way with the stone. And he arrives back to the Candy Kingdom to present the stone to Princess Bubblegum, and she essentially explains that she no longer needs it because she has created artificial souls. So that's fascinating. And throughout this episode, we're cutting to Brocco's apartment because Brocco's been writing in his journal about his trials and tribulations. And essentially, the scenes we see play out are more or less stuff that he's writing in his journal about. And he smashes the Soul Stone out of anger and basically decides that his next course of action is going to go to Peppermint Butler and admit that basically he can no longer try and attempt to court her because she will not accept any of his advances. So he goes to Peppermint Butler, who is back in the tree doing his dark magic, and it turns out he's actually trying to command this this spirit evil guy named Ogdoad into giving him the key to the Shadow Realm, which is some, you know, standard Peppermint Butler side plot shit. Peppermint Butler's always up to sketchy shit, or he has his sketchy moments in the episode. We just kind of have to take it at face value. So that's kind of what we had to do here as well. But essentially, he goes to Peppermint Butler and he requests that he be allowed to be done trying to court Princess Bubblegum. And Peppermint Butler obviously does not want him to quit trying to go after Princess Bubblegum, because that would mean that he would have to go back to work. So Peppermint Butler has Ogdoad help Brock out. Is that how it's pronounced? Hold on, let me double check with my notes. It's Brocco. I keep forgetting it's Brocco. But basically, he convinces this evil Ogdoad to help Brocco out. And Ogdoad is let free in exchange for making Brocco, the most attractive man in the world. But of course, Ogdoad is evil, so he instead turns Brocco into an evil monster with massive teeth and really, really ugly and three legs. And Brocco, however you pronounce his fucking name, I don't know, Brocco goes back to Princess Bubblegum one last time to court her because he thinks he's the most attractive and lovable creature in the universe, but he's actually really, really ugly. And when he shows up, we cut back to Princess Bubblegum's lab, and she actually has a robot there that is a replica of her in her more standard outfit, and it's called Peabot. And Peabot, she explains, is a robot that she created to act just like her, except she is willing to go with Brocco and love Brocco, because she knows that Brocco will not give up until he has courted her, but she knows that she does not want to be with him. So this robot, as soon as it sees this ugly monster, is basically like, oh my god, Brocco! And she, like, jumps into his arms and starts kissing his ugly monster face, and they run away together and live happily ever after. And that's sort of how the plot of this episode ends. We get no further sort of conclusion on Peppermint Butler's stuff going on. His guy that he was trying to communicate with, and he had his soul inside of Cinnamon Bun, is just released, and everything kind of goes back to normal. So very clearly, this was a filler episode. But let's go over my notes, shall we? Filler episode, yes. Did I spot the snail? No. Were there any fart jokes? Also, no. The cutest part of this episode for sure was Princess Bubblegum's redesign. She was given these like thick glass rimmed glasses that are like circular, along with like a purple sweater underneath a lab coat, and her hair is all done up weird. But it was honestly adorable. Probably Princess Bubblegum's best look in the show so far. But I was a fan of this redesign overall. And one of the funniest parts of this episode was actually with Brocko's dad. I explained earlier that Brocko's dad died, giving Brocko the spot in the line of courting Princess Bubblegum. And Brocko's dad was a skeleton laying on the ground, and Brocko was just sitting on top of him. And when Peppermint Butler approached him, the skeleton was just like, "Hey!" It was really funny. The weirdest part was definitely PB making P-Bot, because P-Bot was just undeniably in love with Brocko, even though he was a monster. And it was just really creepy, because it was like a monster, and then Princess Bubblegum was like all over him. And I thought too during the episode, why does she just not make a P-Bot for the Ice King so he stops bothering her? But I don't know. I really don't understand. Princess Bubblegum kind of seems to be only willing to do that for people with wholesome intentions, and maybe she thinks that Ice King's intentions are not. Or there's probably some super important ulterior motive, as there always is with this show. Other things of note. Mind Games by JT Dogzone appears again because Brocko tries to use it to court Princess Bubblegum. He actually goes to his grandpa's tomb and pulls it out of his tomb along with his outfit and his hat, his weird-ass hat, too. Yeah, and Finn and Jake just kind of barely showed up in this episode, but they technically did. We have yet to get an episode where Finn and Jake are not actually in it at all, and they were in this episode, albeit very briefly. So yeah, there we have it, folks. Overall, a very run-of-the-mill episode, but it was very interesting seeing one that basically had no focus on Finn and Jake, not even a little bit. So, interesting stuff. And now for season 5, episode 22, The Parties Over Isla de Señorita. And this is an Ice King focused episode, and it opens with him creeping on Princess Bubblegum while she is asleep. Basically, he sneaks in through her window and he's in her bedroom and he's watching her sleep, and he explains how she's so beautiful when she sleeps. And obviously she wakes up and she's pissed off and she calls for the banana guards. And the Ice King basically says, "Wait, have you really thought it over? Are you really wanting me to go away? If so, call the banana guards." And then she calls them again, and as they're about to come and pick up the Ice King and kick him out, he actually willingly leaves for probably the first time in history. And that is because he's decided that he is over Princess Bubblegum not accepting his advances. So the Ice King heads back to the Ice Kingdom, blasting past Finn and Jake, who try and stop him, and he basically says, "Out of my way, fools, I'm leaving." And when he gets back to the Ice Kingdom, he packs his bags because he's decided once and for all to leave the land of Oo. So he gets in an ice boat and casts off into the ocean onto the great unknown, other parts of the planet that we have not seen, when all of a sudden a storm rushes in and he basically becomes a castaway on some random island. And he willingly takes off his ice crown and basically ties it to his beard with a knot of his beard hair, and just kind of starts wandering the island, you know, getting his bearings, because he's going to set up base camp and start living on this deserted island, when he discovers by climbing a hill that the island itself is actually a woman. And it's basically a massive island woman who is laying like flat on her back, and there's like arms and legs and a face, and she can talk, And basically, she invites the Ice King over to her face so they can talk and chat. And they quickly become friends and start to chat about different things and kind of just get to know each other. And multiple days pass. The Ice King builds a shack and he squashes some grapes to make grape juice. You know, he just kind of gets accustomed to this life and he becomes friends quickly with the Isla, as I will be referring to her from now on. And the Isla opens up to the Ice King and reveals the fact that her boyfriend is bothering her. And right as she starts to explain, her boyfriend returns. And so the Ice King has to hide, and he literally just hunkers down on her face and pretends to be a zit, which was really funny. But her boyfriend turns out to be none other than reoccurring character Party God, which, if you recall, is a massive floating wolf head with a backwards baseball cap, or maybe it's a forwards baseball cap, don't really recall. And basically, he's addicted to partying. He's shown up multiple times in multiple episodes, most recently in the episode where Finn and Jake were not talking for a day and using note cards to talk instead. He showed up at the very end to party with Finn, Jake, Beemo, and the Bikini Babes. And there was an episode earlier on in the series as well where Jake was basically addicted to partying, and he ended up getting invited to party with the Party God, which is kind of like the highest praise for anyone who likes to party. But in this instance, he's a douche because he's being an asshole to his girlfriend, the Isla, and the Ice King does not approve. And basically, after he shows up for a second and is a douchebag to the island, he then says that he's got to go back to a party because he accidentally threw up on somebody's boombox, so he has to bring his own. And the island asks him not to leave, but he does not oblige, and he says he'll be back later and to stop being a hassle. And after he leaves, the Ice King basically tells La Isla to just break up with him because he's a douche and he's not worth being with. And she basically explains that it's harder than just doing it. So the Ice King goes off on this rant about how he left the land of Ooo because he broke up with his ex, Princess Bubblegum. And he goes into these details about how the relationship was on the rocks and she wasn't reciprocating his feelings and all that, which the island doesn't know is bullshit, but of course we know is bullshit. And eventually, what ends up happening is the Party God returns, and La Isla is basically too shy to say anything. He comes back because he needs batteries for the boombox. She does not break up with him, and basically, he starts to leave, and the Ice King gets pissed off and chases after him. And what proceeds to happen is basically a really epic battle in the sky between Party God and the Ice King. It turns out Party God can, like, grow and shrink, and he tries to, like, bite the Ice King, and he pops out of the cloud layer below and, like, tries to kill the Ice King. And the Ice King keeps shooting laser ice beams at him, and he's blocking them or, like, dodging them. But then the Ice King freezes a higher-up cloud, and it falls on top of the Party God, crashing down on his head and essentially knocking him unconscious, or maybe even killing him, but I think it's more likely that it just knocked him unconscious. And so the Ice King quickly scoops up the head and holds it, and in a very Adventure Time fashion, puppets the unconscious head to make it go to La Isla and break up with her. So he forces Party God to break up with La Isla by pretending to be him by puppeting his unconscious head body, which, again, I'll mention it. This is something that happens a lot in this show. For some reason, Adventure Time as a series is obsessed with that TV trope of puppeting around an unconscious body. You think of, like, Drake and Josh, they've done that shit. iCarly, they did that shit. And they did one episode about it. Adventure Time, off the top of my head, I can think of at least four times other than this that they've piloted or puppeted unconscious bodies to get their, like, way or whatever. It's such a common thing in this show, and I just like to point it out every time it happens, because seriously, for some reason this show is obsessed with the idea of using someone's unconscious body as a puppet to get your way and succeed in like situations. I don't know. I was trying to think of a fancier word to say, but I guess situations is the only correct one. But essentially, after the Ice King puppets the unconscious head of Party God and makes him break up with La Isla, he basically talks himself up for a while, and La Isla talks up the Ice King too, and then the Ice King proceeds to throw Party God's head off into space, where it glides off, flying through space, possibly never to be seen again, or maybe it will, who knows, but basically it's just an unconscious head floating through space. And that is the end of that episode. Kind of a weird one, but I love Ice King episodes, so I can't complain too much. But let's talk about some of the finer details here. So, was this a filler episode? Yes, it was. Did I spot the snail? Yes, it was in the first few frames of the episode near Princess Bubblegum's bed. Were there any fart jokes? No. The coolest part of the episode, for sure, was when the Ice King and Party God had their epic battle. Really, really good stuff. Also, the animation and art for the island set itself was really neat, and it was slightly different than the art style of the Land of Ooo, and I wanted to point that out because it's probably important in some way, shape, or form. Presumably, if we leave the Land of Ooo, there are going to be different art styles if that ever happens again in the future, so I wanted to point that out. Funny parts in the episode: the Ice King knocking the Party God unconscious, and the Ice King clearly learning nothing by breaking up with Princess Bubblegum, because he basically decides, after breaking up Party God and La Isla, to go back and break up with Princess Bubblegum, and he tells her straight to her face that they're broken up, and he says, like, oh, that felt good. And then he's like, oh, maybe we'll work it out. And that was the end of the episode, the actual end. So he clearly didn't learn anything. Other things of note, the Ice King willingly took off his crown in this episode, which shows that now that he's fully under the crown's control, he can kind of remove it easily however he pleases. That's something that's kind of important, because we saw when he was succumbing to the crown's power that it was hard for him to take it off. But it's clear now that he can just take it off whenever he wants. Another thing is, this episode was the first episode where we actually left the Land of Ooo and found ourselves on a different part of the same planet. We've gone to different dimensions, we've gone to space, we've gone to Mars, we've gone to all these different places, but we've never actually explored other, like, continents on the same planet as the Land of Ooo. This is the very first time. So, very noteworthy episode in that regard. Season 5, episode 23, is a really interesting one, because it calls back to the fact that we hear throughout the series that Jake kind of didn't have a very wholesome past. As we've learned in previous episodes, Jake was a bit of a criminal troublemaker in his past, and we didn't really know to what extent, but we at least knew that he used to steal purses and bikes, and he had a crew that he used to run with, and we know, at the very least, he was not always the wholesome hero that he is today. So Jake's just doing some bird watching one day, and he's making fun of certain birds for being ugly and stuff like that, when all of a sudden a mailman stork shows up and starts to chastise him for making fun of the birds, and then hands him a delivery, which is a videotape that basically says, like, he needs to watch it urgently. So he runs inside and grabs BMO and puts the tape in, and he's all excited because he thinks it's some kind of movie or something, but of course it isn't. Someone has his daughter, Jake Jr., held hostage. And basically, they explain to him that they are not going to release his daughter unless he comes back to his life of crime for one more job, reassembles his crew, and steals the greatest item of all. The baker's shard, which is basically the purest form of sugar in the entire world, and it's kept inside of the candy vault in the Candy Kingdom. Now, really quickly, let me go over the members of Jake's former criminal group, so we can kind of get into their backstories a little bit. So, Jake's old crew includes Gareth the Lady Master, the Flying Lettuce Brothers, which are notorious con men that are also impressionists, and of course, Tiffany. Tiffany, if you recall from the earlier seasons, is a character who is trying to be Jake's best friend and hates that Finn is. Tiffany, if you recall, is from the episode My Two Favorite People, from one of the first couple seasons, and basically after Jake introduced Finn to Lady Rainicorn and tried to make them become friends, they became such good friends that Jake became a third wheel, and to make both of them jealous, he called up his old pal Tiffany to hang out with him. And Tiffany's character is kind of insensitive for this show, I'm not gonna lie. But I'm going to explain it anyway. Basically, they're a boy, and they kind of have long hair, and they kind of have like a young, prepubescent, girly voice. And the joke is, ha ha ha, it's a boy, but they act like a girl, which is kind of not super kosher by today's standards, so I want to specify, I do not support, you know, making fun of people that, you know, do not identify with their assigned at birth gender. So, I just wanted to make that clear, not trying to be insensitive by explaining any of the Tiffany jokes, so now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about the rest of the folks. Gareth is actually a very interesting character. Basically, it's revealed that they're more or less one of those, like, really realistic, ugly face characters from Adventure Time. And they have this special face power that basically allows them to look into the eyes of someone else, and that person instantly becomes infatuated with them and will listen to their every command. In other words, Gareth is going to get Me Too'd probably in the next couple years if they haven't already. And then the Flying Lettuce Brothers are essentially these two lettuce leafs that wear prison jumpsuits, and they can perfectly recreate the voice of basically anyone. So that's sort of their whole thing. And essentially, we are introduced to each of these characters in the following scenes. So, Gareth is in, like, a restaurant, and basically, he's on a date, and he's infatuating a woman, and then his watch starts to blink with Jake's criminal face on it. He basically stretches out his head weird and makes it look like he has, like, a fancy hat on or something, and he makes his eyes shadowed so it's harder to tell who he is. And then we see the Flying Lettuce Brothers are actually robbing the Squeezy Mart by impersonating an underpaid retail worker's boss into giving them all the money. So basically they pretend to be this underpaid retail worker named Tanya's boss, and they tell her over the phone to bring all the money out back and give it to the two strange men in the back. And Tanya, of course, obliges because Tanya is depressed and doesn't want to work there anyway. Relatable content is relatable. And of course, Tiffany's just living in some kind of like weird bunker, and he's working out. And he's like basically just looking at the wall, and there's pictures of Finn and Jake, and he's getting all pissed off. And then the watch is taped to the wall, and the watch starts to blink, and Tiffany's like, oh, I see, Jake wants me after all, huh? And Tiffany springs into action, and he starts to come towards Jake's location. And basically, Jake has BMO destroy the tape. They agree not to tell Finn, and Jake goes on his way to the warehouse where they decided to meet up. Of course, in the next scene with BMO, Finn shows up trying to make a random noise band, or a simple noise band or something like that, and asks where Jake is, and BMO immediately tells him that he's getting back together with his old gang of criminals, and Finn just laughs and says, ha ha ha, very funny, BMO, and thinks BMO isn't telling the truth. And that's all we see of Finn in this episode. So at the warehouse, Jake enters and all of the lights are shut off. And when he turns them on, all of the criminals from his gang are in there waiting for him. And he sort of explains the situation on how they have his daughter, and all of them agree to help out. And what proceeds is basically the next series of scenes where Jake more or less has to pull off this incredible heist with the help of his friends. They pull up to this candy vault in a milk truck and basically take out some of the guards and convince all the rest of the guards to go outside by impersonating the guard captain. And Jake and Tiffany blow the door open on the vault to the baker's shard and enter and manage to steal it. And essentially, as they steal it, Jake is told to throw the baker's shard to the mysterious person who kidnapped his daughter, which he does, only for it to be revealed that it's actually his gang, and they've tricked Jake into returning to his criminal roots by kidnapping his daughter. And they forced him to help them get the shard. Well, there's actually a double twist, because it turns out the real culprit was Jake Jr. herself. It turns out that Jake's daughter connected with Jake's old heist crew, got them back together, and convinced them to help her steal the baker's shard, because she knew from Jake's stories that it was the one heist they never pulled off, and she wanted to impress him. So essentially, there's a double twist. And Jake basically has to chase after them, and they're in the milk truck escaping with the shard. Jake lets the criminal crew go, but manages to pull his daughter out, and he proceeds to chastise her for all of the criminal activities she's been doing. But then he admits that he was impressed that she was able to pull it off, and they kind of have a little sentimental father-daughter moment, and then Jake returns them back to the house. They head back to Lady Rainicorn's house, and basically, she's off the hook. So is this a filler episode? Arguably no, but I'm going to say yes. You could say we got some more backstory about Jake's past, which is kind of important, so that would be why I would say no. Did I spot the snail? No. And were there any fart jokes? Yes, there were. The funniest part of the episode was definitely when Tanya was being bullied by her boss. Basically, she asked her boss if she could go home because she was depressed, and her boss said, no, I gotta go see my ex-wife, and smashed through the front door of the gas station, which was really funny. And when Tanya is tricked by the impersonators, she asks her boss on the phone if she can leave again because she's depressed, and they tell her yes, so she did eventually get to go home, which was really funny. And her whole character is literally just the fact that her like hair is so long it's covering her face, so it looks like extra emo, but it worked because she was a B character, so it wasn't important what she looked like. And also, it was really funny when BMO spilled the beans to Finn almost immediately, and Finn just thought it was a joke, even though Jake told him not to tell Finn what was going on, so that was pretty funny. And then the weirdest part was definitely Gareth. Gareth's, like, weird face magic to trap girls and force them to act according to his wishes was, like, kind of... I don't know if they could make that in 2022, you know what I'm saying? But otherwise, all that's left for me to mention is in the B plot, Finn was making a primitive noise band, and he asked BMO to join, but BMO kind of scoffed and said that he likes organized sound. And also, Jake Jr. is canonically 22 in this episode, so there we have it, folks. That's kind of all there is to that one. Nice little father-daughter Jake backstory episode. Pretty nice. Season 5, Episode 24, another 5 more short Grables, is yet another episode in the Grables arc. If you happen to miss my coverage of the previous ones, basically, they are all formatted as being a different TV show for, like, aliens, and there's, like, this weird host guy, and he basically explains that he's going to show us, like, 5 different stories, and they're all going to have a connecting theme and all that. And then we see a bunch of, like, basically 5 different plots happening at the same time. And it's a story obviously set in the Adventure Time universe. Like, there was one that was themed around the 5 senses and all that stuff. And it's our job to try and guess the theme. Well, except for this one, because in this episode of Grables, basically the audience, quote-unquote, a.k.a. sort of the presumed audience, because it's formatted like a children's TV show, explains that they don't actually want to hear any Grables today, and instead they want to do something else. So the host of the show basically says that instead they'll go to his workshop and they'll build a birdhouse. And when they get to his workshop and start building the birdhouse, he realizes he actually has no clue where the hole is supposed to go on the birdhouse. So he has us watch the 5 plots anyways, because apparently in the background of one of the plots, there is a birdhouse that we can refer to figure out where the hole is supposed to go. And that's sort of the setup for this episode. It's really confusing and weird. You kind of have to watch it to fully understand. But I thought it was funny that they were being self-aware about the fact that the Grables episodes are usually not that interesting. So, what is the actual plot of the stories? Well, let's get into it. The first plot is Finn and Jake at the treehouse, and Jake Jr. is over visiting, and basically Jake Jr. is really bored, and she talks about how she just wants to learn about history and just kind of hang out, and she doesn't really want to play or do anything. And that's when Finn and Jake tell her that they're going to build a time machine for her in order to bring the history to her. And that's sort of the setup for that Grable. And our second Grable is about Cinnamon Bun, because basically he is going on a rampage across the land of Ooh, trying to find the perfect amount of light because Princess Bubblegum took away his nightlight. And he even goes as far as to accidentally set his house on fire. And when he sets his house on fire, that's the perfect amount of light. But then obviously his house is on fire, so the fire department shows up and messes all that up for him. And basically for the rest of the episode, he's on a rampage, trying to find light. And he sort of interconnects and intertwines and all the rest of the Grables in this episode, because he's going around trying to find the perfect amount of light in order to be able to sleep peacefully. And let's see what we've got here for the other Grables. So Grables number 3 is the Ice King cleaning out his fridge and trying to pick a DVD to watch with the penguins for a movie night. And basically all this amounts to is he wants to watch a knockoff of like NCIS or, you know, those other kind of crime shows, and the penguins want to watch like Babies Doing Ballerina the movie or something like that. And that's all the further that joke really goes. And then Grables number 4 is the Lemon Crabs fighting over a doll. Basically they're pretending that the doll is their child, and their arguments are over how they're going to raise it. Like, one thinks the baby would want to go to sleep, and the other thinks that the baby would want to dance, stuff like that. And then the last Grable is actually about Mr. Fox, if you recall from the past episode that he was in. And basically, he's returning home after visiting his brother, City Fox, and just kind of reminiscing about all of the stuff in his house. And basically, he's trying to justify to himself that even though he's got all this, like, junk and it's pretty low quality, at least it has character, unlike his brother City Fox's, like, really fancy and new stuff. And all of a sudden, his subconscious sort of wakes up and climbs off of his bed and starts talking to him directly, like, as a manifestation, if you will. And it starts to write down a treasure map on where there are some buried treasures. And he gets all excited and hopeful because he thinks he can finally leave behind the poverty of living in the woods with all this decrepit shit. And right as he starts to write down the map, Cinnamon Bun busts through the wall and his subconscious goes back to being subconscious and doesn't talk to him anymore. And he loses his chance at going after the treasure, which makes him very upset. And after the Mr. Fox grables, we cut back to Finn, Jake, and Jake Jr. And essentially, Finn and Jake are kind of like playing it up and pretending that they're like delivery boys delivering a time machine part and all that kind of stuff. And Jake Jr.'s just kind of sitting on the chair, like, uninterested, knowing that Finn and Jake are not capable of building a real working time machine. And there's basically a moment where they finish assembling it, and they tell Jake Jr. that it's finished. And right as we think, like, there's going to be some, like, jokey, like, oh, we're back in time, you know, like, pretending and stuff, there's a massive flash of light. And right as that happens, the grable is paused by the guy presenting the show. And basically, he says, like, oh, there's the birdhouse, and he points it out in the background of Finn and Jake's treehouse. And he's like, all right, well, now we know where to cut the hole on the birdhouse, so we don't need to watch it anymore. And, of course, obviously, as the audience, we're going to want to see where that ends up going, because it seems like they actually were able to create a working time machine. But unfortunately, not, because they just end the episode. Just kidding. How funny would that be? But they do eventually cut back, and it turns out to just be BMO. BMO has an intruder alarm, and it sounded because there was a rogue Cinnamon Bun who happened to break into Finn and Jake's house in order to basically ask them if they had a nightlight he could use. And so when we get back to that grable, basically Jake Jr. disables BMO's stranger alarm by typing it's okay, which is really funny. And then BMO shuts up, and Cinnamon Bun explains that Princess Bubblegum took away his nightlight. So they grab another nightlight they have plugged in the house that is the same or similar to the one that Cinnamon Bun already had. And both of them were basically glowing statuettes of Jake. And they give the new nightlight to Cinnamon Bun, and he has it now. And that's basically it for this episode's plot, like, for as far as the grables go. Because we cut back to the host, and the host basically has finished the birdhouse. And he's just like, well, I hope you enjoyed the grables. Talk to you next time. Which is, you know, kind of how all of them end. But that was sort of the conclusion of that grables episode. They became self-aware about how boring these episodes were, and they tried to jazz it up, which I thought was really funny. But let's go over some of the details. Was this a filler episode? Yeah. Did I spot the snail? No, I did not. And were there any fart jokes? Yes. When Finn and Jake were building the time machine, Jake pretended to be a delivery boy, and Finn was like a mom accepting the delivery. And Jake grew into like a fake door and pressed a fake doorbell on himself. And when he pressed it, it farted. So there was that. And essentially, the fart joke there is that he pressed it and it farted. So good stuff there. I hope you guys are enjoying this hyper analytic view of fart jokes in Adventure Time. But other than that, I don't think there's much else to say. Funny moments. That part where Finn and Jake act out the scene where the time machine part is delivered was really funny. And also BMO's stranger alarm was really funny, because literally the only way they could disable it is by typing it's okay, which is very in character for BMO. But otherwise, folks, I think that's all I've got to say about that one. A pretty standard episode, a Grables episode nonetheless. Never been a huge fan of those, but this one was, you know, a little better than the other ones. Season 5, episode 25, Candy Streets, is yet another detective drama episode. Except this time, instead of the illustrious Detective Bimo, we instead have the less illustrious detectives of Finn and Jake. Here's how it goes. So, Finn and Jake are at the Candy Kingdom in Princess Bubblegum's castle, being little bitches for, like, usual, except this time they're doing some sort of weird, like, cats dressed up in suits playtime thing that I didn't really understand, when all of a sudden LSP comes in absolute hysterics, rattling on about something that was stolen from her by somebody named Pete Sass. And basically, she's about to get out, like, her proper explanation, but they can't really understand anything because she's so hysterical. So Princess Bubblegum goes to calm her down with this massive syringe of mysterious liquid, and she accidentally distributes too much, causing LSP to get knocked unconscious. So Finn and Jake think that she's had something stolen from her by somebody named Pete, and they decide to go to her hotel room and investigate. And while they're there, they basically search the destroyed and tossed up hotel room and find, like, empty pizza boxes, and basically the place is a huge mess, and of course, there's blood. And so they send the lab specialist, Bimo, to analyze the blood sample, and they try and build a motive and a story for what could have possibly happened. And their best bet is that something happened where Lumpy Space Princess and the criminal kind of got in a fight, and the criminal got cut in the altercation. And so they assume the criminal must have had to go to the drugstore next door in order to get a Band-Aid. And so they go over to the drugstore, and they manage to get out of the drugstore employee that there was a sketchy guy in there earlier that day. And he was talking about how he was going to go to the train station and get on a train to get out of Dodge. And he also bought Band-Aids. So Finn and Jake quickly head on over to the train station, only to find a really sketchy guy in a trench coat boarding a train. They miss the train just barely, getting arrested themselves by some actual cops who are, like, wondering why they're trying to sneak onto a train, which is interesting because up until this point, the Banana Guard have been pitted as the cops, and there haven't been any actual cops, but these were real cops. Like, they were candy people in cop uniforms. So either the Candy Kingdom got an upgrade, or this is some sort of weird thing, and we're just gonna have to take it at face value, and I think it's the second one. But anyway, so essentially, they're, like, stopped by the cops, then they're let go once the cops realize that they're working with them, and Jake turns into a car, and Finn immediately starts peeling out after the train to try and catch up to it and stop the perp. And once they get close, they both hop onto the train and go through the train looking for the suspect, who they've determined is probably named Pete Sass, or Pete Sassafras, or something like that. And they find the guy in the trench coat, and they're like, "Hey, are you Pete Sassafras?" And he's like, "I go by many names. What's it to ya?" And they're like, "You're under arrest." And they arrest this guy, right? And they take him back to the dungeons of the Candy Kingdom and put him behind bars. And he basically keeps trying to explain to them that they've got the wrong guy, and he doesn't even know what they're talking about. And Jake even does this thing where he stretches out and pretends to be a lawyer character. And he's like, "I'll get you out of this. Don't worry, buddy. I'll be your lawyer." And then he's like, "I'm just kidding. It's me." And it's actually really kind of funny because Finn and Jake are just the worst fucking cops of all time. They literally pretended to be lawyers. It's just a mess with this guy they put in jail. So that was pretty funny either way. And so essentially what happens next is they discover that they've made a grave mistake, because BMO shows up while they're having their celebratory donuts and explains that it was actually not blood at the scene of the crime, and instead it was just pizza sauce. And Finn starts to think about it, and he realizes that there's a pizza restaurant in the Candy Kingdom called, like, Pizza Sassy's or something like that. And so they go there, and they figure the delivery driver must have been the one who attacked Lumpy Space Princess and stole something from her. So they ask the people running Pizza Sassy's or whatever it's called, and they're like, oh, the delivery driver's out already. And so Finn and Jake get really worried the delivery driver is going back after LSP, so they call up Princess Bubblegum, and she explains that LSP woke up and went back to her hotel room. So in a panic, they rush back to the hotel room, only to find the pizza delivery guy is delivering pizzas to Lumpy Space Princess. And it turns out the thing that he stole was her heart, of course. So basically, they have a guy locked up in jail right now, but they don't mention it. And they falsely convicted him off of horrible evidence. And it turned out LSP was just being her normal quirky self. And basically, there was no crime going on after all. So that's the plot of this one, folks. So let's take a look at my notes and see if there's anything that I missed, as per usual. Was this a filler? Obviously. Snail spotted? No. Fart jokes? No. The coolest part of this episode was definitely when Jake turned into a car and Finn, like, sped off driving him around. But that being said, one of the funniest parts as well was the fact that Jake kept turning into random objects, including, like, a donut, and Finn, like, picked him up thinking he was a donut and started to eat him. And Finn was getting so pissed off, but Jake was just having fun, so he had nothing about it. He was like, I'm gonna do what I want, Finn. I can't control myself. I can't stop myself from turning into police objects, Finn. It's too much fun. And it was really random, but it was pretty funny. It was also funny that LSP, her whole thing that was stolen was just her heart by the pizza delivery driver. Also, there was this whole thing where, like, not only was Pete Sass, like, supposed to be like pizza, which I picked up on almost immediately, apparently the delivery driver's name also happened to be Pete. There was sort of like a whole just accept it, this is the outcome thing that happened, even though there were still some loose ends in the crime, and kind of what she was trying to say is one of those things, but it wasn't really a crime, so it's not that big of a deal. The weirdest part was definitely when Jake turned into the donut and Finn started, like, to eat him. Finn was getting so annoyed with Jake, and it was, like, weirdly out of character, because usually they get along super well, but you could tell Finn was peeved by Jake in this episode, which was kind of strange. Other things of note. Yeah, that guy they convicted, they do not show him getting released from prison, so, they wrongfully convicted a guy. They pretended to be a lawyer, and, so needless to say, our heroes committed quite a few crimes in this episode, and who's to say if they ever corrected them, so that's this episode. Honestly, this one was really good. I liked this one a lot as a filler episode. I was feeling like a solid 6.5 on this one. It was just really, really good humor, a little bit different than usual, good stuff all around. Season 5, Episode 26, Wizards Only Fools, was another excellent episode of the show. Essentially, Princess Bubblegum has to swallow her pride. So, this episode's plot revolves around the fact that everybody's favorite side character that was introduced in the pilot episode, Starchy the Gravedigger, is sick with a cold. And he is essentially not being seen by Dr. Princess, but instead Princess Bubblegum, who is trying to help him. And she has a medicine that she made that will clear up his cold instantly, but he refuses to take it because he only wants to be healed by magic for some fucking reason. I don't know. It's kind of random and kind of weird, but, you know, you kind of got to accept some stuff in the show as is. And for some reason, everybody in the land of Ooh agrees that they'd rather be healed by magic than science, much to Princess Bubblegum's dismay. And Princess Bubblegum declares the fact that she believes magic is a sham, and basically it's just science sort of shown off in a fancy way rather than a straightforward and clear way. And she will not deal with Starchy not wanting to take her medicine because it's not magical. But basically, Starchy's just getting worse and worse, and she has no choice but to bite the bullet and sneak into Wizard City to get a magical spell to clear up Starchy's cold, because it's the only way he's going to get his cold cleared up, because he won't let her just give him the serum that she made to clear up his cold. So naturally, she drags Finn and Jake, her pack mules and bitches, with her, and they meet up outside of Wizard City. And when they all arrive at Wizard City, everybody's all dressed in wizard disguises, and Princess Bubblegum has to open the secret passage into Wizard City by making the Ice King say the password, which she manages to beat the password out of the Ice King, and he actually really likes it. She has his screams on a tape recorder along with him saying the password in order to get inside. And it's fucking creepy because he's like, oh, ooh, oh, and it's like, oh my god. It was really weird, but, you know, it's in character for the Ice King. Just gotta remember the whole, like, fact that it's, you know, an old man with a younger woman, but we'll forget about that for now. So basically, they sneak into Wizard City, they see a fake wizard get the shit beat out of them for sneaking into the Wizard City. In fact, the, like, wizard guards beat the shit out of him and then turn him into a wooden stick that they carry around to beat more people up with. So instantly they're like, oh fuck, we better be careful. And they manage to find a wizard spell shop. And they go inside this spell shop and they ask the wizard behind the counter for a cold spell. And he hands it to them, and Princess Bubblegum is Princess Bubblegum insists on knowing what is inside of the spell. And the wizard basically just keeps saying, it's magic. It's a spell. It's magic. And she's not willing to accept that for an answer. So she basically keeps pushing him, and eventually he's like, you know what? You guys are not real wizards. I'm going to call the guards. And he calls the guards, and the guards start chasing after our heroes, and Princess Bubblegum steals the cold spell. So they're running away down the road, and they turn down an alley, and they happen to bump into Abracadaniel from the wizard battle episode, or whatever it was called. The one where they had the big competition with all the wizards. Yeah, that one. And Abracadaniel basically is working at some building, and they manage to convince him to sneak them inside so they can hide. And it turns out to be the secret meeting of the secret organization of wizards that the Ice King happened to bump into the last time he was in Wizard City in an episode as well. And essentially, it's a group of, like, Bufo and three other wizards, and they're doing some mysterious, shady shit. And it's revealed that they're actually trying to do something with Abracadaniel, like absorb his powers or something like that. And thankfully, they happen to show up just at the perfect time to stop their ritual, but the guards are called, and Abracadaniel, Princess Bubblegum, Finn, and Jake are all thrown into magic jail, because they go in front of the leader of the magic city, and even though Princess Bubblegum and him know each other, he basically says that if they want to be let go free without having to go to magic prison, she has to say, like, magic rules or something, and she's like, nuh-uh, no way I'm doing that, fuck that, magic sucks, and so she doesn't do the simple thing she has to do, and they all end up in magic prison. And there's a funny part where Jake's like, I'm gonna start counting the days on the wall, and he starts scraping the, like, slash marks into the walls. That was pretty funny. And immediately, they are at the cafeteria the next day, eating, and Abracadaniel and Princess Bubblegum get into a fight. And essentially, the fight turns into a prison riot, and they realize that it's their opportunity to escape. But in order to escape, Princess Bubblegum has to use the potion, or the spell, I guess, that Jake smuggled into the prison inside of his body. And so she has to swallow her pride and use the spell to get out of the situation. And once she does, it turns out that it's actually not a cold spell like for the illness. It's actually a cold spell like ice. So essentially, it freezes everything and they just kind of get to walk out of the prison and they're fine. And so they head back to the Candy Kingdom, not really sure what to do, but what Princess Bubblegum ends up having to do is pretend that her syringe is magic and use it on Starchy, and then he starts to feel better, and that's essentially the end of the episode. So let's go over my notes here and see if there's anything that I missed. First of all, filler episode, yes. Snail spotted, yes. I'm not sure where, I forgot to write it down. Fart jokes, no. There were no fart jokes. I want to say at this point, Wizard City is one of the coolest settings in all of the Adventure Time universe. I really love the design. I really love the characters they have. It's just such a cool area. And I wanted to highlight that while I was talking about it here. Princess Bubblegum also had a minor redesign again in this episode where she had a wardrobe change. Similarly to the one recently where she was with Brocco and she had like the shorter hair and the thick glass, round glasses. This time she's got like kind of a shorter haircut and she wears like a skin tight technology jumpsuit thing underneath her wizard fake costume. Really cool design for her. Honestly, so far she's getting all of the neat wardrobe changes. It was Marceline for the longest time, but now she's kind of getting all the neat wardrobe changes. And speaking of which, Finn and Jake do actually acknowledge the fact that essentially, other than the skin-tight suit, Princess Bubblegum is flat-out naked underneath her wizard costume. So Jake and Finn get all blushy about that at one point in the episode. Other things of note, the Wizard Society needing Abracadaniel for something is sure to come back at some point. He did end up leaving with Princess Bubblegum and the boys, and he helped her trick Starchy into taking the medicine, but in reality, he's definitely got some more important shit coming, because he kind of had this whole big deal made about him in this episode, and it turns out that the Secret Magic Society is, like, trying to use him for something, so important stuff here. I think Abracadaniel coming back is basically guaranteed, so we'll have to see where that goes. But that is sort of it for this episode. It was interesting because we went to Wizard City, but other than that, not much else to say. Good episode, though. Really, really good episode. I was a fan of this one. Well, folks, there we have it. That's the end of this block of Adventure Time reviews. I hope you folks enjoyed listening to me ramble about Adventure Time and give my little reviews. And I promise you, I will be back in 2023 with more. I'm sure I'll talk to you at least one more time before the end of the year. But in case you don't hear from me, have a great holiday season. Make sure you hug your families and enjoy your time off from work or school, unless you have a shitty job like I used to where you don't get holidays off. I've been there. This is going to be my first holiday season actually off and able to be with my family for like 6 years, so I'm really, really looking forward to that. But either way, folks, I really appreciate you for listening. It's been fun working on Hyrulean Reviews Adventure Time this year, and I'm excited to see where it takes us in 2023. It's going to be a chaotic year, that's for sure, but I'm hopeful that it's going to be a good one, and I know that there will at least be some adventure time to be seen and to be heard. So thanks for listening, folks, and have yourselves a fantastic rest of the year. Bye-bye.